John chapter number 8. Let's all stand once you find that. John chapter 8. If you're able to, let's stand for reverence to the reading of God's word. John chapter number 8, look at verse number 30. John chapter 8, verse 30. The Bible says, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words, guide my thoughts this morning. Lord, I want to honor you. I want to only say what I ought to say. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to the hearts of people here this morning. Lord, I don't know who is here or their condition, but God, I do pray that if someone here is not saved, that they would see their need of you today and would come to you as their Savior. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, help us as we look at this subject this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about this morning, slaves in a free country, slaves in a free country. Despite what you might hear on the talking heads of the media, and they want to still pull a slave that they have been mistreated, none of those have been slaves. A slave is someone that does something because they are told to do it. A slave is someone that is made to do something out of usually their own will, against their own will. Our country has been founded upon freedom. The pilgrims first came searching for freedom. Some came for religious freedom. If you study history, and that's one reason they're trying to change history. Some came seeking respite from tyranny. Some came simply seeking a land where there was no one there to tell them what they could and could not do. But despite the reasons that people came to America, they still had a common cause. They had a common goal, and that common goal was freedom. Freedom to serve God as they please, freedom to conduct business and free enterprise, freedom to enjoy the bountiful resources in our great land, freedom to just possibly explore uncharted, untouched territories. But they still came for freedom. That's why they came. Why else would you leave your home and your land and everything that you know if it wasn't for the fact that there was something out there that you desired? And I believe that for all of these, at some point it could be summed up, they wanted freedom. They wanted liberty. In 1776, a mere 246 years ago, a group of men signed their name to a document, a Declaration of Independence from Britain. These men did not haphazardly sign their names. They knew that with this statement, they were laying their lives, their fortunes, and their destinies on the line. Should this venture, the American Revolution, fail, they would have been hunted down and executed, should it have failed. Our founding fathers knew that liberty must be fought for in order for it to be maintained. Liberty is one of those things that is hard to get. It is harder to maintain, but it is very easy to lose. These men gave their lives, not just these men, but many other men throughout history have given their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today. Five signers of the Declaration of Independence were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. What kind of men were they? 24 of them were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over his house for headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. His home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forests and caves, returning home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. That's what our country has been founded on. Sadly today, many of those things, many of the original things that they intended, their original intent, is being taken away from us, or has already been taken away from us. Thomas Paine, and I don't agree with everything with Thomas Paine, but he shaped much of the philosophy of our founding fathers in the things that he wrote, said this: "It is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government." He also said, "What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price on its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." Samuel Adams, very much a patriot, listen to this statement. This is very true about our country today. "A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy." That's what's happening today in America. We've lost our principles and our manners. I'm not worried about China because we're self-destructing from the inside out. That's what Samuel Adams said. He also said, "The liberties of our country, the freedom of our civil constitution, are worth defending at all hazards, and it is our duty to defend them against all attacks. We have received them as a fair inheritance from our worthy ancestors. They purchased them for us with toil and danger and expense of treasure and blood, and transmitted them to us with care and diligence. It will bring an everlasting mark of infamy on the present generation, enlightened as it is, if we should suffer them to be wrested from us by violence without a struggle, or be cheated out of them by the artifices of false and designing men." Amen to that. Benjamin Franklin said, "Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God." I'm not free. Yes, I am free because James Madison said something simpler. I am free because of our Constitution. But I was free before our Constitution by the laws of God. And that's stated in our Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Franklin also said, "They who would give up essential liberty," listen to this, folks, this is paramount, "they who would give up essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty or security." William Penn said, "Those people who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants." Thomas Jefferson said, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance." He also said, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." These were not only the men that sacrificed their lives for the freedom that we have today. Many men and women have sacrificed for liberty, not just here in the United States, but also around the world. As I was doing a search for, I was reading, doing a lot of reading for this message, and trying to find, because what I say, I'm 35. I have not really accomplished anything with my life as far as what the world sees. But these men founded a country. One man said, America is a trial, and if it fails, we are done. But it is a trial that honestly has succeeded. Yes, it's had its downfalls. Yes, it's had its flaws. But America is still the best country in the world. America is still the freest country in the world. It is. There is no question to that. And we owe it to our ancestors. As Samuel Adams said, we have been given, we have been handed this. And our generation will live on in infamy if we let it go without struggle. It is our duty. And although there have been many people that have fought and have died, many men and women have sacrificed for liberty, not just here in the United States, but also around the world. I was reading an article, and obviously within the first two sentences, I could tell it was an article written by someone that was not a patriot. Because they went on, they were saying that the men and women that have died not on our soil did not die for our freedom. They're saying that all men in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, you name the war, even the small wars, did not die for freedom. And I disagree with that. You know what they did? They died to keep our freedom here. How do you let a man like Hitler or Stalin or the psycho guys out there, how do you let them, Edmund Burke said, the only thing that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. And it is our duty to defend freedom. And as if I was in a third world country, because quite frankly, in my opinion, if you're not a free country, you are a third world country. You are dealing in, okay, maybe you have the money. Well, we've got money. We've got this. But if you cannot exercise your freedom, what are you? You're a slave. Chinese people may have money, but go to the sweatshops. On the surface, they may look like they have it. But go to where they are. Let me challenge you. You should research how many internment camps are in China right now. People there, not by their choice, but because they said something or portrayed an attitude that they didn't like, they're not free. 25,000, roughly 25,000 Americans died in the Revolutionary War. Why? Exactly for that. For independence, for freedom. 20,000 died in the War of 1812. 36,516 died in the Korean War. 58,209 died in the Vietnam War. 116,516 died in World War I. 405,399 died in World War II. Over 600,000, roughly, the numbers vary some. 600,000 died in the Civil War, Americans. Sadly, freedom is not taken away by the enemy without, it is taken from within. James Madison said, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Very true. George Mason said, nothing so strongly impels a man to regard the interests of his constituents as the certainty of returning to the general mass of the people from whence he was taken, where he must participate in their burdens. We've lost that for the most part. Not completely, but for the most part. Alexander Hamilton said, if the representatives of the people betray their constituents, there is then no recourse left but the exertion of that original right of self-defense, which is paramount to all positive forms of government. You take away your arms. You take away the ability. And, quite frankly, I don't believe that the Second Amendment is just that you can have a shotgun in your closet. I should have access and freedom to use whatever weapons are out there. Well, that would just turn it into a Wild West. You know what happened to the bad men in the Wild West? They were hung. They were killed. And peace and order came. I was just at Dodge City, so I'm kind of in the whole Western thing. It would do us some good. You know, we can cure school shootings. I seen a picture of an Israeli school teacher not too long ago, had an assault rifle strapped on her back. Well, that's offensive. You send somebody, if somebody goes into my school, if I was going to go, you know, why wouldn't you go to a weak spot? That's just common sense. But you read all that about the school shooting, but did you miss the article where a school safety officer shot somebody and killed him that was trying to break into a school not too long ago? Probably didn't read that article, did you? That's not put on the news. But this is kind of a rant of mine. Why did he do that? Because he was armed. You take away the arms and the people become insolent subjects. They must keep their arms. I'm not the only one that thinks that. Noah Webster said, pretty smart guy. Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are almost in every kingdom of Europe. The supreme power, this is Noah Webster, all right? This is several hundred years ago, all right? The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. Pretty smart guy. Richard Henry Lee said, to preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. Despite the way it feels sometimes in our country, we still live in the freest country in the world. We have this freedom because men and women have sacrificed so that we can have this freedom. And I want to thank them for that. However, we've got some enemies within our country. It is not necessarily the politicians. It is not the think machines. It's not all of these things that we can point our... It's not the far left. It's not these... Radical socialistic movements. They are merely puppets. We've got enemies that we each fight with daily of our country. I'm going to say this briefly, but convenience, let me say this, convenience is the enemy of freedom. I want you to think about that. Convenience is the enemy of freedom. Be careful about giving up your freedom and your privacy for convenience. Well, it's just easier if I put all this information on and it's stored in the cloud. That is not just your information anymore. Just throwing that out there. When a government gets a people to self-censor and self-police, those people are slaves to tyranny. When you come to the place that you self-censor, what does self-censor mean, Brother Chad? Self-censor means that you will not say something that you might believe firmly because you're afraid of the consequences. When a people come to the place, that is not freedom of speech. I don't know if I wrote this quote down. George Washington said, when we get rid of freedom of speech, we will be led as sheep dumb to the slaughter. George Washington said that. When a government gets a people to self-censor and self-police, those people are slaves to tyranny. I'm just going to give you some instances. In China, they've got cameras everywhere. Every street corner, every subway, everything. They don't have to have a police force like they used to, because everyone is afraid of what they will... If a camera's watching you and there's a purse sitting on a bench, you won't pick it up. because someone is always watching. It's the eye in the sky. But it's real. They regularly have to go, people have to go, they have to do a voice recognition. They have to do a pupil scan. And there's something with the ear. I don't know. I haven't studied that one out. But they can recognize you by your ear. I guess an ear has as much personal uniqueness. I got nice ears. As your fingerprints. Well, obviously they can't by camera tell what your fingerprints are, but they can tell who you are by your ear. Just something I read. All right, you can fact check that later. But you know what they've done? They've got algorithms in their computers that read every text message that you send. Why are there tens of thousands of people in internment camps being re-educated? Many of them will never leave an internment camp. Why are they being re-educated? Because they sent a text to someone making fun of, you know, who's got many chins, whatever his name is over there. All right? That's what they did. Well, they're against our government. So now that they're put in some, they need to be re-educated. Hey, listen. Re-education is happening today in our schools today. We'll just they need to be taught something different. All right? Convenience is the enemy of freedom. Be careful about your convenience. Say, but Brother Chad, wouldn't self-policing be good? Yeah. Be great. You know how I self-police? It's not a fear of a camera. There's something in Proverbs called the fear of the Lord. I'm not as much worried about a camera seeing me. I'm worried about what God Almighty sees me do. But you take God out of the equation, what's left? How else are they going to self-police? By taking away all their freedom? People, they can go up to any door, from what I've read, especially if you're part of the minority groups. They can go up to a door and there's a list on the door of who's supposed to be in that house. Police can knock on the door at any time, open the door, and if somebody's in that house that's not supposed to be, or somebody's not in the house that is supposed to be, the whole family can go. Doesn't that sound almost like the Nazis in Germany with the Jewish families? Okay? The star, Brother Holloway talked about the Jewish star, was as much put on them to make them feel inferior, subjected them, pushed them down. Despite what all these people have, I should do right because I fear God, not because I fear a camera. Be careful of convenience. And I know I've said that several times. I hope you ponder that. Just because your phone can do something, they know everything that, listen, Christian people, they know everything that you looked up on the internet. Everything. Do we have Daniels anymore in our culture? If they said, I want this man, you know, and I don't know, our brother could probably tell you this, but why does a guy that seems like he's right on the line and doing everything right and gets elected as a politician and then sometimes just does weird, makes weird decisions? I think a lot of times it's because it's blackmail. It's happening. It happens today. They'll go back. They just did it not too long ago. They went back to a school yearbook, and a picture that a guy had posted. It was years ago. Wasn't posted. It was taped to a thing. Rubber cement. All right. That's how they used to do yearbooks. He was canceled. That's what the term they use now. He was canceled. Because of one thing he did when he was in high school. And he was a great, great guy. How would you like to be held accountable to every nuance that you did? Well, they can't do this. Because that's what they're doing. But you know, now we do it all on the internet, and now there's a record of it. All right? Would to God that we had some Daniels that lived life by principle. Whether people were watching outside their window or not, they knew that, you know what they said about Daniel? they could find no fault in him. No fault. And I'm afraid we don't have that much anymore. Let's live our life like that. Despite what all these people have done, our founding fathers have done to secure my liberty, I want to challenge you this morning with this thought. We watch free men, and free ladies every day that live in bondage. Free men and free women every day that live in bondage. They may be free based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but they live enslaved to a worse tyrant than anything that this world has ever produced. They live as a servant to sin. In Romans chapter number 6, if you'll flip over there with me, we read about this taskmaster. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Listen, folks, there is a sin problem in our country. It's like I said earlier, it's not the politicians. We've got some wonderful politicians, okay? We've got some wonderful statesmen. I hate to even use the word politicians for some men, because we have some statesmen, some men that stand for something, that believe in something, that will not be bought out, all right? Anyway, there's the whole money. Sorry. You realize that there's over 30 district attorneys in our country, at least 30 that have been bought out. And you think district attorney, that's no big. It's a big deal. Because they decide who's prosecuted and what they're prosecuted for. A friend of mine just told me in Bloomington, all right? And you can say what you want, but Bloomington is the Sodom and Gomorrah of the Midwest. In Bloomington, they've cut the police budget by 30%. I can about trace that to a certain organization and a certain man behind that. Because he's bought out about 30 other district attorneys. And you know what the MO is? Let's cut the police budget. We're going to defund the police. All right? We got to think, folks. All right? Why in the world would you defund the police? The people that uphold the law? Why would you do that? Because you want chaos. You want mayhem. And it's happening over there. I don't go over there. I just feel like dirty when you leave. All right? I do. I had to go there for parts the other day, and it was like, ugh, gross. The homelessness? You know that they have teams of people in Bloomington right now that go around and cater to homeless people? Can I get you anything? Would you like a bottle of water? And so now they're living in the streets. They don't have bathrooms to go to because they don't have a house. But that's not against the law anymore. You can do it in public over there now. Well, you can? Oh, not really. But would you ever get prosecuted for it? Probably not. All right, go ahead and defund the police. You can defund them, but, you know. Anyway. There needs to be some people that uphold the law. But Chad, not all of them are good. The majority of them are good. 98, 99% of them are good and are in there for the right reason. Okay? But you know what the problem is? It's not the politicians. It's not the corruptness. They're just puppets. Puppets to an even worse taskmaster. It's sin. It's sin. It's nothing new. Brother Holloway said, it's nothing new under the sun. Sin binds. Think about the children of Israel. They went to sojourn in Egypt. What happened after what, I don't know how many years actually they took over. What happened after, you know, close to 400 years or whatever, they became servants. They became servants. I think, personally, I think because of convenience. They became servants. Samson, what happened to Samson when he yielded to Delilah? He was tied up. He was bound. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've got a sin problem in our country. That's the problem. It's not the politicians. You know what the truth of the matter is? They have the same sin problem that Chad Gordon has. Listen to me. You know the only difference between me and someone else? I'm made out of the same junk everyone else is. I've got the same passions. I've got the same flesh that everyone else does. You know the difference is I have a Savior. That's the difference. Okay? And you take God out of anything. They sang under God. When a nation decides that they're no longer under God, you know what one of our founding fathers said? We just read it. They will be ruled by tyrants. Because you either control yourself because of the fear of God, or someone has to control you. The ultimate sacrifice, so sin binds. Sin is a taskmaster. The ultimate sacrifice was made. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's been a lot of people that have sacrificed for freedom, and freedom does take sacrifice. I don't care what kind of freedom it is, it takes sacrifice. Freedom isn't just handed out without a price. Freedom takes sacrifice. But the ultimate sacrifice was done by Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life for all sinners. He offered to free them from the load that they carry. Flip back over to John chapter number 8, where we were to start with. John chapter number 8. Look at verse number 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's servant seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Listen, I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. You can say I'm, you know, what's the word? Fascist or whatever. Fascist, you know. You know what Antifa, you know the term Antifa means anti-fascist, all right? Basically, but they're making it extreme. Well, if you're for America, you are whatever, weird. You know what? I'm a patriot. And there's been a lot of men that have sacrificed. There's men sitting in this room that have gone to war and have seen terrible things so that we can be here today. Well, they went to a foreign country. They still fought for freedom. All right? They fought for a set of principles is what they fought for. But you know what? If I have to go to war for, you know what? And I talked about it not too long ago. It's for my kids. Because if my generation gives it up, my generation lives on in infamy because we gave it up. Jesus gave his life for sinners. He offered to free them from the load that they carry. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Instead of being bound by the trends of our culture or the false news that we hear, we can know the truth. I can live my life for a purpose. My life is not bound by the attainment of riches or notoriety. It becomes a good place when you care not what man thinks, but rather what God thinks. People try everything to get relief from the oppressiveness of sin. Drugs and alcohol give temporary relief. Many try to busy themselves to forget the constant demand that the world has on their time, but it only tends to make them more busy and more involved, and the weight gets heavier. Some try to buy happiness, but they find that happiness only comes from something that is happening, and life soon grows dull and oppressive. They try to watch movies about unrealistic people with unrealistic marriages, trying to convince themselves that there is still hope. They try to drown out the crack of the taskmaster's whip with the rock music and the mind-dulling music. The news headlines tell us that there are many people trying to free themselves through suicide. But the sad truth remains, you are still a prisoner in the freest country in the world. You're still a prisoner in the freest country in the world. Not a prisoner to the government or the politicians, but to the sin and the burden that comes with sin. Matthew 11:28, I already mentioned this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice so that you can have true freedom. Freedom that lives even under bondage. Freedom that fights when all the fighting is done. Freedom that goes, listen to this, beyond death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Not over me. You know what Mrs. Ali said this week? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? She's free. She's free from a body that causes pain. She's free from eyes that can't see. She's free. All right? She's free from that. It's a freedom that the world doesn't understand. They go around, they carry a burden. They buy one more thing to make them happy, only to carry the burden of a payment book for however long. All they're doing is buying more bondage. Alcohol won't drown it out. Drugs won't liberate you. Busyness just adds to the taskmaster. And death simply seals your fate forever. Today, friend, Christ is offering to you freedom. Yes, we live in the freest country in the world. Hands down. I don't know of a freer country in the world. And it's been fought for and it's been paid for by men that have sacrificed. But there's something inside that even if I was in bondage, I can still be free. Even in an internment camp, I can still be free. Because there's something inside that you can't take away from me. That freedom that only Christ can give. Why are the best patriots good Christians? Because there's just some kind of freedom that boils in your heart that says, I love freedom. I love liberty. You know, why would I want anything else? I've tasted liberty. Why would I give it up? Look at the founding fathers. Just about all of them were devout Christians. Mention God. I mean, not all of them, but a large majority of them. Some of them were just bullheaded, stubborn, you can't tell me what to do kind of guys. They were. But a lot of them, there was something turning inside of them that says, God, why did they say so often, God gives us this freedom. God gave us the rights that we have. Because there was something inside of them that did that. I may go to prison someday. And I pray that it'll be standing for freedom. And it would be a sad day in our country if those standing for freedom are the ones that have no freedom. It would be a sad day indeed. But today, friend, Christ is offering to you freedom. He can give you purpose. He can. But you have to come to Him. That is something that, you know, I was handed freedom. I was handed freedom. When I was born in America, in Terre Haute, Indiana, to Jack and Penny, it's a legendary. The world stops on my birthday. No, I'm kidding. When I was born, you know what? I was born an American. Remember what Paul told that centurion? You know, I love it when Paul was talking to, you know, he goes to jail. He goes to jail and he tells the centurion, you know, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. Uh-oh. And he said, you know what Paul told him? He said, I was born free. And you know what that centurion said? He's like, with great, I forget the term, but with great money, basically, I had to buy my freedom. You know what? I didn't have to immigrate. And by the way, don't let me on that one. If you're going to immigrate, there's a reason. There's a reason you left there. All right? And if you left there, don't bring there here. Because I don't want there here. Because you left there to come here. Think about that for a while. Okay? But anyway. But you know what? I didn't have to. My parents didn't even have to immigrate here. They didn't. Because it would take a sacrifice. Those that do it legally, it's a sacrifice for them. There's a lot involved. But they didn't have to do that. You know what? I was born free. But when I was born free, you know what I was born into? A slave of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, me included, for that all have sinned. For there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have come short of the glory of God. And then we can go to Romans chapter. You know, okay, so I'm a servant of sin. What does a servant get? Wages. It's interesting. Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? I was born free. But I was also born a slave. Every one of us is born free. If you live in the United States of America and you were born here, you were born free, but you were also born a slave. So how do we have slaves in a free country? Look around you. It's everywhere. I was one. But Jesus Christ gave me a gift. John chapter number 8. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What are you going to do to me? I'm free. You can't take that away from me. Can't take that away. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may be a free American, but you're still under bondage to sin. And sin is a hard taskmaster. Take you places you don't want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, make you pay more than you want to pay. Hard taskmaster. Accept Him today as your Savior. And you can be, as in John chapter 8, verse 36, you can be free indeed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our country. Thank you for those that have sacrificed. Lord, there's freedom. There's sacrifice and freedom. And God, you gave the ultimate sacrifice when you gave your only begotten Son, the perfect Lamb of God, to take away my sin. And Lord, it's something that each of us has to make the choice. We can have freedom to be an American, but Lord, many of us have never accepted you as our Savior in our world today. And Lord, it's just the things that we see, the terrible things that we see in our country are just a result of a tyrant called sin. And God, I pray that we would, if someone's here today that's never asked you to be their Savior, Lord, I pray that today they would be saved. Lord, help us never forget the freedoms that we've been given in our country. And thank you for all that you do. Thank you for that. Thank you for the men that stand for it even today, for the principles, the precepts, unwavering. And Lord, I know they get ridiculed. I know they get things thrown at them because of it. But Lord, help them to continue to stand. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.